That's the sound of the Duke Ellington Orchestra. From the mid-1920s to the mid-1970s, it brought Ellington's music to audiences around the world. He is widely recognized as one of the greatest talents in all of jazz. A key member of his orchestra was Boston native Harry Carney, who became known for his pioneering work playing the baritone saxophone. Carney joined the band at the age of 17 and embarked on a close working relationship with Ellington that would span their entire lives. And while Carney never returned to live in Boston, his last saxophone did, and it resides here today. This morning, WBUR's Bob Oakes offers an appreciation of Harry Carney and that saxophone.
Thank you. I would like to acknowledge a couple of people here. Harry Carney, he played the baritone solo, the sophisticated lady, Harry Carney.
That is Duke Ellington introducing Harry Carney at a concert in Montreal in 1964. Revered as the godfather of the baritone saxophone by many players, Carney was born in 1910, 122 years ago this month, and was raised in Boston's South End. Boston author and jazz aficionado Con Chapman says his parents were not musicians, but music was important to them.
They were certainly not wealthy. They did have a piano. And before the coming of stereos, a piano was an essential element of just about every family that was moving into the middle class.
The South End at that time was racially mixed and a hotbed for nightlife. There were saloons, theaters, and rent parties where people raised rent money by charging at their doors for live music and liquor. The neighborhood produced several legendary jazz musicians and was known as the saxophonist ghetto. Carney and his friends would listen to records on a gramophone and search for gigs around town.
Back then, you have to understand that there was a house band in every major hotel in Boston, and sometimes young men would sneak around to the back entrance and ask, you know, if they could play.
In the summer of 1927, Carney was also gigging Prohibition-era jazz joints in New York, playing the clarinet and the alto sax. There, Carney was seen by Duke Ellington, who was so impressed he sweet-talked Carney's mother into letting the 17-year-old leave school and join the band full-time. In his first week with Ellington, Carney picked up the baritone sax, and according to John Edward Hassey, curator emeritus of American music at the Smithsonian, the collaboration between Carney and Ellington blossomed, as Hassey says you can hear in this tune called Solitude.
Carney had a distinctive voice on the baritone saxophone. It was rich and expressive. And in fact, Carney became the first, and for a while the only, important player of the baritone saxophone.
To sax players Danny Harrington and Lauren Sevillon, who've both taught at the Berklee College of Music in Boston, Carney was an inspiration.
He was the first one to make that instrument truly speak. He's singing it to you through the horn.
You could hear his voice coming through. Every single note that he played had intent and purpose.
For Sevillon, no piece exemplifies this more than Carney playing on one of Ellington's most famous tunes, Sophisticated Lady. Toward the end, Carney blows a note that would make audiences go wild. Using a technique called circular breathing, Carney could inhale through his nose while simultaneously puffing his cheeks and blowing out. Danny Harrington says it feels endless.
He's constantly pushing, and believe me, I tried to do it a couple of times and I almost fell out of the chair.
Carney held that note for 1 minute and 7 seconds. For decades, Carney drove Duke Ellington from gig to gig in his own car, while the rest of the band took the bus or train. The two logged thousands of miles together, with a quiet, modest Carney behind the wheel as Ellington composed tunes, sometimes on the back of matchbook covers. Carney stayed with and played with Duke Ellington for nearly 5 decades. When Ellington died in 1974, Carney said, "Without Duke, I have nothing to live for." And Carney died just 4 months later at the age of 64. Here's John Edward Hass of the Smithsonian.
I think he died of a broken heart. The band was his family. And when the head of the family went, he just lost his reason to go on.
After Ellington passed, Carney recorded this version of the song "Drop Me Off in Harlem." You can hear the sorrow. When Carney died, his saxophone went to Pat Patrick, an acclaimed jazz player who had a 40-year run with jazz legend Sun Ra. Pat Patrick's son is former governor Deval Patrick.
He was one of the founding members of the Sun Ra Orchestra back in Chicago, and in fact, he sat in with Duke Ellington a good deal as well.
Pat Patrick played that saxophone for years before he died in 1991. Later, Deval Patrick donated it to the Africana Studies Archive at the Berklee College of Music. Sax player and professor Danny Harrington helped to confirm it was Harry Carney's.
And I was a little hesitant at first, and I opened it up, and like that scene in Pulp Fiction where Travolta opens the briefcase and the glow comes out, and I started to tremble. It was the horn. It was the exact horn.
And at a ceremony at Berklee in 2016, that baritone saxophone sang again, this time through Harrington. The tune was one Duke Ellington used as a sign-off. It's called "Lotus Blossom." So while Harry Carney is buried outside New York City, that baritone saxophone resides here in Boston, where he first learned to play. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bob Oakes.